Okay, a reading from John chapter 20, beginning at verse 24. Jesus appears to Thomas. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed."
Kia ora. That's good. Kororia ki te atua, te matua, te tama, te wairua tapu. It's great to be here today, and a welcome to everybody. My name's David, as already been mentioned, and I'm on the leadership team here as well. I was speaking last week in the evening at the youth event, 7 o'clock, and it just struck me that actually it's 50 years this year since I first encountered Jesus. It's pretty, and I know that because actually it's connected with a particular film, which is Jesus Christ Superstar, which I think some people will know. And at the time, I was in Bristol, in a city in the UK, and pretty much going my own way. I think I had hair down to about here. It's getting pretty close now, but I had hair down to about here. It was kind of hippie scene, and I was involved in the art scene in Bristol. And so I enjoyed theatre, I enjoyed rock, I was doing all kinds of things, but no connection with the church. And then I went along with a friend to this youth group, which happened to be at the church in the neighbourhood where I was living. And they were going to see the film Jesus Christ Superstar. The musical had come out a couple of years before, but the film was out, and lots of people have been talking about it, so we went to see the film. And that was my first encounter with Jesus. And I was shaken to the core, that's what I have to say, particularly when it came to the crucifixion, and Jesus is nailed to the cross, and people are mocking and spitting at him, and he says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And I remember thinking in this moment in the film, as some of you will know, there's something about Jesus that I have not understood. There's something about Jesus that I haven't understood. And I had to sit there for, I think it was probably about 20 minutes after the credits had gone, and all the friends I come with, they were all hanging around outside wondering what happened to me. And I vaguely remember people clearing up rubbish around me and that kind of thing, but I was held in that moment, and I knew that from that moment onwards, I needed to find out who Jesus was and why he was so important and what it was that was touching my heart in that moment. So that was the beginning of a long journey that comes to this day. And I often say to people, the one thing I regret about becoming a Christian is that I didn't do it sooner. You know, that's part of my journey. But that was a transformative moment, and that was 50 years ago this year. So who Jesus is crucial. And that's why we're doing this little mini-series in our grand narrative, because that's what it is. The grand narrative leads to this person of Jesus. That's who the whole grand narrative that we've been looking at over these last few months, from creation right the way through to this particular point, that's who it's about. It's about Jesus. And so we've been going through this little mini-series that's looked at three particular things that I've wanted to say. No one ever did the things Jesus did. No one ever seriously taught the things Jesus taught. And no one ever seriously claimed the things Jesus claimed. And that's what we're looking at today. And then no one ever achieved the things that Jesus achieved, which we'll look at next week. But it's always important to question and to seek and to search. It just takes me back to, in that musical, these words, Jesus Christ, who are you? What have you sacrificed? Jesus Christ, superstar, do you think you're who they say you are? Did you mean to die like that? Was that a mistake? Or did you know your messy death would be a record breaker? Don't you get me wrong. I only want to know, Jesus Christ, who are you? What have you sacrificed? Jesus Christ, superstar, do you think you're who they say you are? No one ever did the things Jesus did. No one ever taught what Jesus taught. No one ever seriously claimed the things Jesus claimed. And no one ever achieved the things that Jesus achieved. And it's really important that we get this picture as we move towards Easter. Because what's important for me, and I think for all of us, is to realize we're not just talking about any old person who's nailed to a cross. Thousands of people were nailed to crosses in the time of the Romans. Why is it that we remember Jesus? What is it so significant about him? And why is it so important for you and I to hold on to Jesus in this changing generation 2,000 years later? So we're coming to terms with that. We're looking at that. And it's really interesting because I want to look at some of these claims, but there's a particular claim that I want to get to at the end that I think is important for all of us. So first of all, I just want to think the Bible is actually littered with claims that people made about Jesus. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about how down through history people have expressed such admiration for Jesus and the impact that he's had on history. But in the New Testament, those who were around in the New Testament times were also very impressed with who Jesus was. So in Luke chapter 9, when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he said, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" And they say, some say you're John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life. "But what about you?" Jesus says. It's a question that Jesus always asks in the end. Who do people say that he is? But then it comes to, what about you? Who do you say I am? And Peter's response is, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus blesses him for speaking it. And John the Baptist, of course, we know, started to push his own followers towards Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You need to look to him." The centurion, you remember a centurion who came to Jesus and wanted him to heal his son? And Jesus said, "I'll come with you." And the centurion says to him, "Now I'm a man of authority, and I just tell my soldiers to go and do what they're supposed to do, and they do it. So just tell me. You don't have to come." He recognized the authority of Jesus. Even the demons obeyed Jesus. As soon as he confronted them, they were cast out. And the crowds in Luke chapter 7 were filled with awe and praise God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." Remember Bartimaeus, who was blind, knew who Jesus was. Even when the crowd around was still trying to work it out, the blind Bartimaeus shouts out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." So he sees and recognizes, and Jesus turns to him. And of course, if you look at the letters, which we're going to do over as we continue in this series on the grand narrative later on, but in the letters, two particular things I've highlighted recently. One is in Hebrews, where it says he is the exact representation of his being and sustains all things by his powerful word. That's what the writer of the Hebrews says about Jesus. And then Colossians, Paul says, "In him, in Christ, all things hold together." Meaning, of course, without him, everything falls apart. That's what they're saying about Jesus. But that's not necessarily the surprising thing. You know, when you read about the character of Jesus and the person of Jesus, it wins that kind of admiration. What is surprising is what Jesus says about himself. If, as many people seem to think, he's just a good man or just a good teacher, like Nicodemus. Remember Nicodemus came and said, "You're a good teacher. No one could do the things that you do unless God were with them. I'm impressed with you," says Nicodemus. You know, but here, these are the things that Jesus said when he is talking about himself. And remember, again, I want to reiterate, we're not talking about any person, any old person. We're talking about somebody who seemed to have an extraordinary entrance into the world. We're talking about somebody who did extraordinary things. And we're talking about somebody who gave the most profound and perceptive teaching and called for integrity and honesty in everything, who made these kind of claims. Here's one. I am the anointed, the son of the uncreated God, and you shall see me appearing at the end of all history as the judge of the universe. This is extraordinary. If I stood here and I just said, hey, by the way, I am the anointed, the son of the uncreated God, and you will see me as the judge of history at the end of the universe, you'd be out the door. Is that not true? You think, oh, it's gone to David's head. After all this time, it's gone to his head. 50 years. Yeah, he's completely packed it. And then... And then while I'm standing here, Davis comes to me and he says, David, Esther's just nicked my wallet. And I say, oh, it's all right, Davis, I forgive her. Does that seem inconsistent? That's great. Who's the one who's been wronged? Davis, what right have I got to forgive? Unless, of course, I'm God. That's why in Mark 2, when the man is lowered down through the roof and Jesus says, your sins are forgiven, everybody's upset. Who is this man who says, well, I forgive you your sins? Only God can forgive sins. That's why they took up stones to stone him. Is this, like, if I got Isaiah chapter 61, which was read out, I think, last week, and I opened the Bible and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to set the captive free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the year of Jubilee. Hey, guess what? This has been fulfilled in your hearing. And you think, oh, that's interesting. A new David's announcing a new season. And then I implied that actually I was the one who was fulfilling it. You'd definitely be out the door. But that's why they take up arms and want to throw Jesus over the cliff. It's because he's claiming something rather extraordinary. And they're finding it hard to reconcile. Here is somebody who said, I keep on sending you prophets all the way down through history and yet you wouldn't listen to them. What if I said that? I've sent a whole bunch of people to this church and nobody's taken any notice in the whole history of all saints. I've been telling you. Again, you see, it's crazy, isn't it? Are you the Son of God? Yes, you're right. You know? Are you the King of the Jews? Yeah, I am the King of the Jews. I'm the Passover lamb, actually. And then he turns to his disciples at one point, Jesus, and says, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. I am the fulfillment of history's expectations. And here's a whole bunch. All right, I'm the bread of life. If you come to me, you will never go hungry. I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you will be enlightened, and that you have the light of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can get to God except through me. Now, I'm not saying these things about myself. If you thought that, you'd think, yeah, right. But Jesus was. I am the vine. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I am the resurrection. If you believe in me, you will never die. And even though you die physically, you will live. Now, all of these, I am the shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. I am the gate. I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. These are in John's gospel, but these claims and statements are scattered throughout. And that's one of the wonderful things about having four gospels. Because in four gospels, you've got four different writers who could contradict what's being said. And you can say, no, it wasn't like that at all. But they come at different angles and they come with different things and they reflect and they bring them in. And then you have all those letters that also makes statements. And there's this general sense of going that way. Here is a man who said, if you only knew the gift of God and who it is that's speaking to you, you would ask him and he would give you living water, such as you would never thirst again. And the woman he's speaking to says, I know that the Messiah is coming. And he says, I am he. This is what Jesus said about himself. And I find that actually, when you put these things together, what people said about him down through history, what people said about him in the Bible, his profound teaching, and the things that Jesus did, and then what he said about himself. As C.S. Lewis said, you're forced into having to make a choice about him. You either say he's a lunatic, crazy, and you're out the door, or you say he's a liar, I'm not going to listen to him anymore, or you say he was Lord. You must make your choice. And if you're not sure, because there was a time, as I said, 50 years ago, particularly, when I wasn't sure, I wasn't clear, and I knew there was something about Jesus that I hadn't understood, so I had to go on a journey to find out. And if you're not sure, if there's anyone here who's not sure, then Alpha is the place that you should be. And if you're not sure whether you want to go with anybody, come and ask me, I'll go with you. But actually, and that would be great, I'll have somebody to take then. That's cool. Andrew, do you want to come to Alpha with me? I've been praying for you for a long time, Andrew. So we have to make a choice about this, and if we don't know, we need to go on that journey and explore for ourselves. Okay? That's a crunch choice. Choose this day whom you will serve. He's a lunatic, a liar, or he is Lord. But there's one claim that I just want to continue, because I've been suggesting homework, right? And that 2 weeks ago, I suggested that you place yourself before God and ask God what he thinks about you. Remember that? Because I said it's not so much what we think about God, but what he thinks about us that matters. How many people did that? There's a few hands. Don't panic. Half hands going up. Yeah. And last week, I said it would be really good to read the Sermon on the Mount. And when you read the Sermon on the Mount, say, read a section a day, and say, Lord, highlight something to me. How many people did that? Yeah, a few moving hands too. I don't give you this homework in.